Hey, it's Jimmy. October is National Physical Therapy Month. So if you're a PT, PTA, or a student of either of those, or in and around the field of physical therapy, this is your month. It's an opportunity to raise awareness of the benefits of physical therapy. You can do it with things like the hashtag ChoosePT on all your social media outlets. You could join the APTA. That's a pretty good one. You could even join in on PT Day of Service. That's this month too, on October 12th. One thing we're doing here at this show is we're highlighting all the component parts of the APTA, the sections, or academies if they've changed their name. So we're bringing on someone from each section or academy and letting them explain to you what they're about and maybe why you should join. We figured we'd start with the heart. So we bring in Pam Bartlow from the cardiopulmonary section of the APTA. Today's episode is brought to you by Johnny Owens and Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in clinical practice. We want to thank Owens Recovery Science for sponsoring the show. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com and find them around the country and around the world teaching clinicians how to utilize this in clinical practice.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. This is the PT Pintcast. May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Yeah, welcome back to the show here. Excited in PT month to be doing kind of an ensemble, kind of a kind of review of all the different sections of the American Physical Therapy Association. As here we are in physical therapy month, we will be doing some traveling as well. Doing education and leadership forum on October 18th to the 20th, doing the Tri-State PT Conference from October 11th to the 13th. That's coming up very, very soon. We're going to be at Ohio State University in November. And, oh, I almost forgot, National Student Conclave is October 31st to November 2nd. So make sure to say hi there. We usually have some stickers and beer koozies. Mentioned just a second ago, really wanted to make PT Month about the things that make up the American Physical Therapy Association, the things that make up the profession. So we're reaching out to members of all of the different sections of the APTA, and we kick things off this month with the cardiopulmonary section. I mean, apropos, right? Start with the heart. Bring it in, Pam Bartlow. Pam, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy. It's great to be here.
Vice President of the cardiopulmonary section of the APTA. You're a board-certified cardiovascular and pulmonary PT. Since 2005, published book chapters, articles, all related to cardiovascular and pulmonary PT. We're starting with the all-star team here. You're leading the way. No pressure or anything like that. Setting the bar pretty high. You're the representative of the cardiopulmonary section of the APTA. How's that feel?
That's a 12 shoes to fill there. You know, we have a really great section, and, you know, luckily I've been part of it for a very long time and practicing for a bunch of years and then a member for a lot of time. And so I've gotten to know kind of a lot of people that have been around even longer than I am, as well as a lot of the newer people. So it's kind of nice to represent, since I sort of fit in the middle age-wise of our section.
That's a good part of a section. The APTA is so big. You know, as we record this, well over 100,000 members strong. That's huge. That's such a big party that's difficult to get to know people, which is why sections and special interest groups, when you start to break the organization down into subsections, you can really get to know people. You can really start to formulate some great long-lasting relationships.
Yeah, and that's actually a big part of the cardiovascular and pulmonary section, because we are a small niche area of the practice of PT. A lot of times there aren't a lot of people in your area. So I live in Buffalo, New York. For a long time in my area, I was really the only certified specialist here. And so becoming a part of our section across APTA becomes great, because we can really network with people around the country and say, what are you doing in your area? What are you doing in your area? Because there may not be anybody right near us in an actual physical location.
Right. More information about any of the sections, we do want to mention APTA.org/sections. And they do have great profiles of each of the sections, along with the connection to their website for the cardiovascular and pulmonary section. For more information, cardiopt.org. I'm going to let each rep we have on this month really talk about and kind of pitch their section. So if someone had no idea what the cardiovascular and pulmonary section of the APTA was, what do you say? How do you respond?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because a lot of people just look at the cardiopulm section and say, oh, I don't do that. Right. But you really do, and a lot of the services we offer through the section apply to people that aren't necessarily doing specific cardiac and pulmonary rehab in an outpatient setting or a very specific CCU or something like that. But really, a lot of people in acute care, home care, outpatient orthopedics, certain realms of in-home and pediatrics, there's a lot of our information that really applies to them. And so what I normally tell people from other areas of PT is that, you know, go to the website first, go to our social media sites. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Instagram, you know, see what's out there, because there's a lot of continuing ed that applies to people across the spectrum. There's a lot of other resources and information there. We have one clinical practice guideline that had already come out on venous thrombus embolism. And then we have another one that is being published like within the next month or so on congestive heart failure. And that'll be really big for a lot of people in subacute home care, outpatient orthopedics, things like that. And so we have a lot of those types of resources that can help people from other sections. And then we also just have a wealth of knowledge, because there's a lot of people that come across those patients with cardiac or pulmonary issues that they're not used to treating, and they're kind of confused or nervous. They're not sure what to do. And so the PTs in our section really help to serve as sort of a resource of question answering, you know, different ideas, different references to point you towards to help you treat patients that are people with cardiovascular pulmonary complications.
Yeah, not to skip over the fact that you have your own journal as well, a quarterly journal.
We do, and it's actually been really rising a lot in the status around the world. We are listed on PubMed, and we're hoping to get a little bit further into all of that to get us even more internationally recognized.
That's great. What can someone learn in terms of why they should become a member? I mean, you mentioned that people might be practicing, I don't do that, but you really do. Why should someone become a member? What's the pitch you usually give when you're trying to recruit somebody to come to your particular section of the APTA?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is the ability to network with other people treating these types of patients, because they're so predominant in our patient caseloads, and yet that might not be your strength. And so you can go to a website and ask a question, or you could go to a friend, you know, someplace, but that's really kind of not as easy to do, and it's not as thorough to do as really coming into a section where we really are a close-knit family. I mean, there's many people around the section I've never met in person, and yet we've communicated a lot through emails, through social media, through listservs. And so I would say to anybody thinking of joining, that's what it really gives you, is that wealth of knowledge beyond what you know, because all these other people in the section have different strengths and different areas of expertise, and they can share that with you when you need it.
Love it. I do want to make sure people can get another touch point. We do mention that the cardiopulmonary section of the APTA, you guys have your own podcast hosted by a friend of the show, Rich Severin. That's a great resource. I would have to say your section has probably been the most successful in coining their own hashtag, Vitals Are Vital. That's the hashtag Vitals Are Vital. That thing gets everywhere.
Yeah, you know, that was something that was really important as a section to kind of push it forward, because it started individually and then we said as a section, you know, that's really important since it's a message we've been pushing out to the community, especially our outpatient types of settings, where the importance is to assess vital signs on every single patient the first time you see them. You know, not every patient needs them assessed after that, but if you don't establish sort of that baseline evaluation of where the person is, if something goes wrong or something changes later on, you have no way of knowing that. And so we've used Vitals Are Vital to really push beyond the section and show people in other areas of PT why it is so important to take vital signs. And really, there was a discussion at one point of how that really is more of an ethical value that right. We should sort of hold as PTs.
Yeah, it was brought up in my PT education, and then you get to the practical application of it, right? And this ethical discussion you're talking about, it wasn't planned to be, but it wound up being an entire class discussion. I think our professor brought it up thinking it would be a 10 or 15 minute discussion, but it wound up being more than an hour of, yes, even if we come to the consensus that everybody in the room knows that PTs should be doing this, a lot of us students were saying, but our CI doesn't do it. We don't know how to bring it up. How do you as a student bring up what we should be doing to a CI in a tactful way? I still don't have that answer.
So it's actually funny that you bring that up, because I have some research that I've been doing with our director of clinical education, where we actually require it now on our very first clinical for the students in my institution. We require that they take vitals on every single person for their first eval, and they have to document it and hand us back into us. And in acute care and home care, where they're doing it a lot, they only have to do up to 20 patients. But what we did is we did a survey the first year we did it of all our CIs and all our students, and then we did another survey afterwards. And we've done that a couple of years now, and we're getting ready to publish that data. But it was interesting because some of the CIs were receptive to it, but admitted we don't ever do that. And sadly, we did get one or two CIs that were very against it and resistant. And we had one comment that even said, the students shouldn't be wasting their time on this. They should be focusing on clinical skills. And we were floored by that. And so what we say to the students is we say, look, for that first rotation, you can blame it on us and tell us you have to do it. But after that, you should tell your CIs that you can still blame it on me and say, my cardiopulm professor told me I have to do this the rest of my career and that it's very important for me. I said, and hopefully through that, you will lead those older CIs through your demonstration of the importance of doing it. And we've had some CIs come back and say, you know, I didn't used to do this and your students found somebody with a problem and now I'm realizing I should keep doing that. So I kind of tell the students that they can either blame it on me to start with, or if they really want to take the ownership of it, that they could say to their CI, you know, I was taught in school how important this was. And so as I start my career off, I really want to get in this practice so I do it regularly. And that way they're not admonishing the CI, they're really doing it more of, I'm going to take the ownership of my professional behaviors.
That's well done. When that research comes out, I definitely want to have you back on the show for that. I would love to share that. Because that was, I mean, listen, and I'm a second career student. I was older than every single one of my CIs ever. Mm-hmm. And it was still kind of weird. And I consider myself outgoing. It was still weird for me. And I didn't know how to approach it without trying to sound like a student, like a know-it-all, or a lot of times it was pushed back. Well, we don't have time because we want to get them in. We want to get them moving on their treatment. The large consensus in the discussions that I've had either in class or out of class was, this is part of the treatment. This is part of the assessment. It needs to be done every time. But there is that component. I mean, you mentioning that you had pushback. So can't wait to see that research. It would be another way to figure out that big why question of why isn't it done more often?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah. Cardiovascular risk factor knowledge. What does the audience need to know more about? And this is really you showing value versus telling value, right? You can tell people all about the section, but sharing some clinical knowledge with physical therapists who might do is exactly what you led the show with. Say they don't really do cardio PT, but talk about that just a little bit.
So that's another area that is a big interest to me. And I've done some research in it and all of that. But really what we tell people outside of the section is, everybody, including the other PTs, kind of know what those risk factors are, but we're still seeing super high rates of cardiovascular disease every year. I mean, it is still the number one killer, heart disease, for both men and women. And so I talk to PTs about broaching that within their treatments of patients. You know, if you're seeing somebody for low back pain, but they have high blood pressure and they're overweight and they're sedentary, you're treating them for their low back pain. I mean, that's what you're going to focus on. But while they're sitting there doing a stretch with them, it's no big deal for you to mention, hey, I'm sure the doctors talk to you about your blood pressure. What kinds of things are you doing for it? Just to bring that conversation up again. You know, a lot of people that are overweight have all been told, oh, you need to lose weight.
Right.
They know that. That's not news to them. Same with smoking. But if us bringing that up of offering help, what have you tried? How could I help you? What would help you? You know, bringing those up when we have those interactions with our patients might help to further them changing their behaviors without necessarily changing what we're treating them for as our primary treatment.
Yeah, another touch point in the healthcare system, right? Maybe they know it, but maybe showing a strategy, not just telling them what they need to do, but how they could incorporate it into a behavior change. That's what's going to move the needle.
Exactly. And when we have so much more time with our patients than any of the other medical staff do, that's where we can make more of a difference. Is just like I said, in the middle of your treatments, while you're doing exercises with people, you're going to talk about, you know, the football game or whatever. Bring that up as part of your conversation later on and just open the door for them to come to you with more questions or point them in directions of where they could get more information.
We love to brag about that. I mean, this is where we can turn a brag into something we need to work on. Yes, we do get to spend the most or more time with our patients than other healthcare providers. What are we doing with that time? How can we better be facilitating a behavior change? Because yes, you performed well either within a session or within a plan of care. But what about after? You know, I heard, I had a great quote by Jason Silvernail on the show not long ago. He heard someone say, I don't care what your BMI is 6 weeks from now. I care what it is 6 years from now. I think that would be one thing we could look at, which is, yeah, we do get to spend more time with our patients and other people. How are we utilizing that time?
Exactly. And, you know, with the whole push in the PT career of going more towards wellness,
right. It's
great to have wellness centers, but we can do wellness types of interventions with our patients that we are treating in a rehab setting.
Yeah.
So even though we're doing rehabilitation, we can still be looking at doing wellness at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's really the holistic part of care that we're trying to push healthcare towards.
You got your PT degree from Deauville College in 2006, and that's where you teach now. How's that going, teaching at your alma mater?
Yeah, you know, it's good. So actually, I got my original PT degree at another school in Buffalo at Damon College, and then got my doctorate at Deauville. And it's, so it's kind of fun. It's looking at two different programs, and we work together a lot as a program. But, you know, it's interesting teaching there. I've been there 15, 16 years now. And so as more students go through, it's kind of fun to see that they stay the same age each year. Yep, somehow I get older every year. So I keep thinking I'm around 25 years old until they bring up some kind of new thing that's out there. And I think, oh, geez, I have no idea what they're doing. So luckily I have teenagers right now. So they kind of keep me a little more in tune with what's going on with the younger people. So I know what apps are going on or what bands are the big groups now. And the saddest part, though, is that less and less students every year get my Seinfeld references.
Brutal.
You know, I guess I got to start switching over to, you know, all the other ones that are more current, and Seinfeld's got to kind of go away, I guess.
I scored some points in PT school because, again, I mentioned I was a second career student, so I was a little older than most of my classmates. So I used to laugh at my professor's 90s rock music references, and no one else got them. So I'm sure that's probably how I passed a few tests, is getting those references, bonus points. But I wanted to ask about an elective course that you actually teach. It's on using your personal strengths in healthcare. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, so this is something new I started a few years ago, and I love this, and I'm hoping to kind of branch into this a little bit more. It's I use a specific tool called the Clifton Strength Finders. There are others out there, but this one is a personality test that you take, and it looks at what are your five strengths, or it tells you what are your five strengths. And so I started doing this outside of PT world on my own with my family. And I said, wait, this really applies to our careers as PTs. So now what I do with the students is they take this right away the first week, and then they come in with their five strengths. And the whole goal of this is to look at how do we use those strengths in healthcare. And so for myself personally, some of my strengths are communication, positivity, achiever, these kinds of things. And so I'll look at, all right, when I'm doing roles within my job, let's say I can't choose what job I have. I already have my PT job. How can I look at roles that will maximize those strengths? Because what research has found is that the more you maximize your strengths, the more you are excelling at your career and the more fulfilled you'll be at your career. And so we used to, as a society, say, let's focus on making our weaknesses stronger. And instead, the push is more of, let's maximize our strengths.
Double
down. We maximize those. That's when we excel more and we're more fulfilled. And so I'll do this with the students, and they actually then write goals at the end of the class. They have to write a goal of how they're going to use one of these strengths on their first clinical, their last clinical, and in their first job interview.
That's cool.
And we do a lot of one-on-one coaching with them specifically of how will they use those strengths and what roles will they look for and how will they sort of showcase what they're the best at.
What are some really cool examples that that have come out of this? Have any initiatives or changes in direction of someone's career come out of doing this sort of strengths finder and then application of it?
Yeah, so at the student level, I've had several students that have helped kind of guide what area of PT they go in. Because they're usually around the middle of their PT program when we go through this. And so we talk about, okay, now when you go out on clinical, I want you to excel at this, excel at that. And it's changed sort of somebody that thought maybe I'd go into pediatrics. Now they thought, oh, you know what? I really thought more in neuro because I can do more coaching. Or, you know, I had somebody that was going into, they thought they didn't just wanted to do sports. And then they really found themselves going more towards a wellness because they had more of this empathetic thing in there. And so it was really good. We actually just did it this past spring as our PT department faculty.
Yeah.
And that actually really changed things because we looked at where are our glaring weaknesses as a whole and where are we a little top heavy as a whole. And so we started plugging in people from other areas of the institution, other areas of the college to help us. So we were really good at coming up with a lot of ideas and moving things, but we never finished things. And so we turned around and said, okay, let's find somebody that has that sort of focus as their discipline, their strength, and put them on one of our teams so that it pushes us towards the end goal.
Smart.
And so it was kind of really good that way that it's, and we've also had a few new initiatives coming up. We looked at, okay, which faculty have those strengths that would be the best at those initiatives versus who just used to volunteer in the past. And so it's really kind of neat to be cognitively aware of what your strengths are and then consciously use them.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes, yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to, period. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are heard. Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Here with Pam Bartlow from the cardiovascular pulmonary section. So I didn't know that this was the tool that you used for the class that you teach, the elective on personal strengths in healthcare. You're pretty familiar then with how the results of the Strength Finders course work.
Yeah, I've become a coach through that so that I can actually coach people through it. So I've been doing that for a bunch of years now.
I actually took this thing about 6-7 months ago at kind of the nudging of one of my former professors. Can I tell you my five?
Absolutely. All right. I'd love to know them.
All right. So what are these things called? These are my strengths, the top five strengths.
These are your strengths. Yep.
All right. So number one was futuristic strategic thinking.
Yep. I can see that on you.
Number two, ideation.
Very similar. Yep.
Number four, communication. I would have expected that
to be in there.
Number five, individualization.
Okay. That's interesting.
And the next one was woo.
Yeah. So I'm a woo also.
Nice.
And there's very few woos out there. But I can totally see how this has shaped where your career kind of went and is going, because it's definitely sort of outside the box with your futuristic. And then ideation, though, is that kind of grasping that you want more information, you want to learn more. And so it's interesting there. Woo and communication, I absolutely would expect, which is probably why you were drawn to your first career as well. And then individualization, that one's interesting to me because that's really that looking at how does each individual fit into something and maximizing that. And so you could have easily done that with patients, and yet how you've kind of morphed into that through this part of the career with podcasts and through some of your other communication types of styles, instead of doing something big where you're trying to teach people, you're pulling individuals in. So you really did kind of maximize that so far. But there's definitely some ways you could take all five of those kind of moving forward into some different directions.
Yeah, I thought the insights were really interesting for me. I like looking at them every once in a while. And as soon as you said the name, I was like, oh, I think that was the one I took. That's really great that you bring that into PT education, because especially this one is coming, you know, from someone like me. You can take your degree and your insight in so many different directions. And I think the profession needs people to do that, to push us in places that we might not be yet, or in places that we are, just to see things differently.
Yeah. And that's what we talk a lot about. Like, let's say you're in just the standard outpatient ortho practice. Okay. Well, how do you use your strengths there? You're not the supervisor. You're just a staff PT, but your strengths might be you're going to lead some kind of new educational clinic, or you're going to, and during an open house, you're going to be the one giving tours, or you're going to be the one that's task oriented, getting the refreshments ready or whatever. And so we talk about, no matter where you end up as a PT, you can find roles within there that maximize the strengths so that you feel more fulfilled. You don't get that burnout that's been being such a big topic of conversation lately. If you can find new ways to use your strengths within a role that you're just in, then you won't have so much of that issue of feeling burned out or feeling like you're not utilized correctly.
Well, or if you are feeling kind of worn down and burned out, you can probably more quickly figure out why.
Yeah. Yeah. And that maybe you need to make a change, or maybe you just need to make a change at the job you're at.
Right.
You know, and so that kind of helps you too. And so I always tell the students, even after they're finished with the class, that every couple of years, they should really look back at these and decide, am I using these as much as I can? Am I really fulfilled? And we talk about it in their private lives too, that, you know, if you're in a job where you're just kind of frustrated and stagnant in your job, well, if you can at least maximize your fulfillment in your personal life, then you won't feel quite so burned out when you have to go to work.
Right. Do these change, you know, you said look back every couple of years, do these change a lot in terms of personality?
So it's a good question. And personally, I haven't seen a lot of people that they change until they go through life changes. The research that the Clifton StrengthFinder people have said is, they've said overall they'll stay the same. You might have one or two kind of come in or out. But where it was interesting is this past year I had a student that was a second career. But in the process of his second career, he also got married and had a baby. And so he had total life changes in career and personal life. And he had taken it before. His background had been in psychology and counseling before this. And even then, he stayed pretty much the same. He had two that fell out that made sense of why they fell out, and two that came in that were made sense because now he was responsible for more people and more lives.
Right.
And so a strength came in that was never there before when he was just on his own.
Because it's like a muscle.
Even then, out of his... Yeah, exactly.
You got to use
it. Even then, out of his five... Three out of the five stayed the same.
Right. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, because he didn't need to flex that particular muscle. Now that he did with life changes, that thing's going to get stronger.
Absolutely.
Now it's a strength.
Yep.
That's cool. Website is actually GallupStrengthCenter.com if you want to check that out. Gallup Strengths, plural, center. I thought it was worth it because you can keep going back and checking that out. So I like that.
Yeah, and actually, if you buy the book, you can buy the book on Amazon, and the code is in there to take the test online.
Ew. Last thing I want to talk about, just education of students to impact patients' lives. What's that mean to you being in PT education?
Yeah, so when I started my career, I had no idea I would ever go into education. It wasn't even on my radar. And I kind of fell into it accidentally by helping with a lab at the hospital I was at. And then somebody saying, hey, will you teach a lab for us? And then the next thing you know, I was teaching full-time 3 years later. And one of the things that I found interesting when I got into education is the impact that I can have on students' lives impacts the lives of thousands and thousands of patients. And I always bring that up to anybody thinking of going into education, but really anybody doing clinical education as well. Because when you take on those students, you know, we don't get paid as CIs. We all get that. We're kind of doing it as a professional service. But you're impacting the career of that student that's working with you, and that's going to impact thousands of lives later on in their career. And so I always kind of remind everybody that, and I try to remind myself a lot of that, that I might not be able to make huge differences in all of my students' lives, but I will ultimately make a difference in all of their patients' lives because they're going to make a difference in those people. And so it's really that great spreading of information and impact that we can have on people's lives. And so I just remind everybody that anytime we're teaching students, we really have to see the true value in that and the impact we can have on so many people's lives.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You know, those lives that you change in the classroom will go out and affect thousands and tens of thousands of lives outside.
Yep. Yeah.
That's great. All right, you ready for three questions, Pam?
Sure, go
ahead.
Let's
do it.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, we thank our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, for bringing you three questions. They help PTs find jobs, which is pretty great. Short-term assignments, travel PT, you want to move about the country and find some different places. I always like to say it's kind of like test driving a geographic area or a different setting in your PT career, and you get paid to do it. So AureusMedical.com is the website. See where they can put you and your career can take you. AureusMedical.com. First question, Pam, for you is you're in Western New York right now in Buffalo.
Yep.
If you could go anywhere in the U.S., anywhere in the 50 states and live for 3 months doing whatever it is you do in PT, where would you go?
Well, most people would probably think I'd pick someplace warm, but I wouldn't. I actually am okay with colder weather. But I would go to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
It's one area of the country I've just never really been to. I mean, I've been out west, but not up in the Washington State, Oregon kind of area. And so I'm a big outdoors person. I'd love to just go up there, and they have a lot of really cool outdoor stuff. And I always joke with people that, you know, Nike headquarters are up there, and I'm a runner, but not a very good one. And so maybe they could somehow make me into a really good runner if I lived out there too.
It's a good spot. Good place in the country. And Pacific Northwest, Alaska, Hawaii, Colorado come up a lot. You can find PT gets everywhere. So they have openings everywhere. So check them out, AureusMedical.com, to find where Aureus can take you. Second question is a what question. What's something you've watched, listened to, or read, either a movie, podcast, book, speech, quote, anything that really inspired you?
So that's a tough one to kind of narrow down. I find inspiration almost anywhere. So I would say books, you know, Tuesdays with Maury and The Last Lecture. They're definitely both sad books, but they kind of reminded me that, you know, how life is short. But I really look for a lot of the positive quotes too. And I'll look at memes, I'll watch videos, movies, books, whatever comes up. You know, I'll pick out some passages through the Bible sometimes, like almost anything that just kind of reminds me to be grateful for what we have in our lives. And, you know, I do this a lot in running too, just kind of seeing these little running comments that remind me that a lot of people, and especially the patients we treat, can't run or can't walk even. And so I just, anything that reminds me to be grateful for what we have, that's where I find my inspiration and my positivity.
Last question is a who question. Who's someone the audience should know more about?
Definitely Sandra Billinger. So she's one that's not real flashy. She doesn't go out and, you know, promote herself a lot, but she's doing a lot of really great research in the cardiovascular and pulmonary area. there are a lot of women researchers, but not as many as some of the men out researchers that are out there. So she's a great woman researcher to really watch, as she does a lot of high level, wonderful research. And somebody that does kind of less research, I'm always in awe of people like her that's doing some really high level research.
I'm going to leverage you knowing her to get her on this show, if that's okay.
That'd be awesome. Perfect. She's a good one to talk to.
All right. You're off the hot seat. You can exhale now. That's three questions from Arias Medical Staffing. Last thing we do on the program is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
All right. So we learned all about the section today. We looked inside strengths and cardiovascular and pulmonary physical therapy. But what's your parting shot, Pam? What's your mic drop moment, the thing you want to leave with the audience?
I would just remind everybody that, you know, you're all treating people with heart and lung issues. So even though it's not your specialty, you're going to be treating people with those issues. So don't hesitate to reach out to all of us and join us if you can. But even if you're not going to join the section, at least reach out to the section for any of those questions that come up. There's a lot of wealth of knowledge, and we're a pretty welcoming section. So if you're looking to join, you know, absolutely try us out. We're pretty welcoming, and we're always looking for new faces and new ideas.
Follow Pam online on Twitter, BARTLOP, and Instagram, Pam Bartlow. Pam, appreciate your time sharing some insight during PT Month about your section. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you again for having me. I love this podcast, so it was great to be a part of it.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.